John Boorman, who directed the films Deliverance, Excalibur, and The Emerald Forest, has made his first autobiographical movie. It's called Hope and Glory, and it's based on his childhood experiences during World War II. Boorman was growing up in a lower middle class suburb of London when war broke out.
My memories of that time are very vivid because I suppose it was such an extraordinary time, and I just happened to be coming into consciousness, as it were, you know, the age of six when the war started. So those very crucial years I spent, you know, in amongst the Blitz and all the things that were going on. And the act of writing it triggered and released other memories.
Do you remember the first time that your block was bombed? What went through your head?
The raid I remember most vividly, the kind of raid, was the one which I show in the film, when we were sheltering under the stairs, and they used to drop these bombs in sequence with a 6-second intervals between the bombs, and you'd hear them getting closer. And each one got closer, you waited desperately for the next one, which would either hit you or go past you. And that was, I remember, the most terrifying thing. But for the most part, it was so random. There was this sense of rays, there was shelling, flak, ack-ack, bombs would drop, and then there'd be an all clear, and then another raid would start. It was very fragmented, and of course, we all had the total conviction that we would be spared and it would be other people who would be hit.
You know, you mentioned that during this raid that you described, you were terrified. But the feeling that really comes out during most of your movie, Hope and Glory, is the excitement of the war because it broke up conventional middle-class life. And I guess it's hard for me, who's always lived in fear of war, to imagine what that would have been like to live through war, to have the bombs falling on your block, and not be terrified by it.
Well, certainly the terror was there. But as I say, most of the raids took place at night, although happily there were some raids during the day, which allowed us, if there was an air raid after 8 o'clock in the morning, we didn't have to go to school, which was wonderful. But most of them were at night, and in the morning when people woke up, there was this sense of tremendous sense of elation at having survived. There was you come out of the doctor and he's looked at the tests and he says, no, you haven't got cancer after all. And you walk out into the street and suddenly everything is vivid and alive and wonderful. And that's somehow what it was like each morning. And there was this sense of exhilaration and there was determination to live life to the full, live it in the present. Whereas England at that time had been sleeping somehow, slumbering in a kind of somnolent state, living in a kind of dream of the past and vague hopes for the future. And suddenly they were thrust into the present moment.
This is probably the most personal film you've ever directed, yes?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you wrote it, you produced it, you directed it. It's about your life and your family. Did it pose any difficulties to you as a filmmaker to be that close to the material?
Quite the reverse, in a curious way. I thought that I would feel very vulnerable and exposed, and also that it would be difficult to make judgments because I was dealing with myself and my family. But it was quite curious because I found the necessary detachment quite easy to achieve once I was making the film. In fact, when I'd finished the film, I felt quite confident about it because I knew that it was right and I knew that it was true. And I'd made it from the heart. And instead of feeling desperately vulnerable about this, I felt very strong about it because I knew that if I was challenged or criticized for what something or other was in the film, it couldn't be because it was untrue either to the spirit or to the letter of those times and those people, because I knew that it was right.
How do you think exposure to war as a child affected your interest in or your use of violence as a filmmaker?
Well, it was a curious thing, you know, because whilst I was making the film, when I was shooting it and, well, writing it and editing it, I was always thinking myself back into the mind of the child and seeing it from his point of view, so that it wasn't until I'd finished the picture and looked at it with an audience that I looked at it in a kind of an objective way, and it struck me very forcibly that one or two things hit me unexpectedly. One was that this use of violence, because I'd always been asked about my use of violence in my films, and I could never quite answer that. But I saw how I've often used violence as a kind of, as violence as liberation. And for instance, the end of The Emerald Forest, the dam is blown up, which is a liberating act. In other films, I've done it in similar things. And I suppose that must have stemmed from that experience, that of somehow perceiving it as a child as exhilarating and liberating. And perhaps I've kind of passed that on in my films.
Has Hope and Glory set you on a new course in your filmmaking?
Well, yes, I think in a sense, having had found the courage, you know, to speak from the heart and to have reached a point in my life of a certain mellowness where perhaps I see the world more as a comedy than a tragedy, I think I do feel somehow liberated from these darker forces that have driven me on in the past, and I see my future being trying to make people laugh rather than trying to terrify them.
When you remember your childhood now, do you think you're going to be remembering your childhood as you lived it, or your movie?
That's a very interesting question. In one sense, in making the movie about my childhood, I've kind of lost my childhood, because the movies intervene now between memory and artifice, and it's a curious thing. I suppose it happens to all of us in that we often, you know, remember telling the story about something remembered rather than the memory itself. So memory is, I mean, the relationship between memory and imagination fascinates me. How things, for instance, that I thought I was making up in when I was writing the script, the first draft of the script, turned out to be true. The relationship between film and memory, I think, is fascinating, because I think that somehow memory is often takes the kind of form that movies take, you know, fragments, images. Film is perhaps closer to memory than other art forms. So it's a fascinating area altogether.
You said before that now you feel that you're more interested in comedy than in tragedy. Is your next film going to be a comedy?
I have an idea to make a picture which is a kind of has related in a sense to Hope and Glory, because it's based on my relationship with my children growing up, a father and daughters. Perhaps you could describe it as a kind of comedy version of King Lear.
Ooh. Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you.
British filmmaker John Borman. His new film is called Hope and Glory. Borman spoke to us from the NPR studios in London.